It's time to clean your room. Have you asked your children this question before? Your grandchildren? Are you a babysitter and watching the children and asking them to do this? What inevitably happens in these kinds of situations, particularly with children that are reluctant to engage in such a task? If you know the individual ahead of time, you have a sense of how frequently you should check on the child. Perhaps after 20 minutes you go in and you see that instead of putting her clothes away, the little girl is sitting in the corner brushing the hair of a doll. Or the young boy has pulled out his comic collection and now has it spread out before him, making sure he has the issues in the proper order and is caught up reading. So you say, once again, it's time to clean your room. You get the obligatory nod. And then you go on and you forget about it for a while. And then suddenly the child comes in and he or she says, "Well, I'm done." And you look at the clock and you wonder, how? So you walk in and to your amazement, at least initially, things are clean. At least they're no longer cluttered. But then you start thinking, this happened way too quickly. So what do? You look under the bed. You see some things stuffed under the bed. You look in the closet. And what do you see? Things start tumbling out as you open the door. And we think about this. We as adults can start looking under the bed or looking in the closets because we know we've done some of those same kind of things over the years. We remember back to our own childhood and the ways that we tried to get out of cleaning our room. And we think about all the different ways that we as adults continue these practices in other instances. Say, for example, your supervisor comes and it's time to make sure you give a good impression. So you go to your work area and you start sprucing everything up and cleaning things, throwing things into drawers, anything to make it look like it is clean and that you've been industrious. Or in certain instances in our family lives, do we tend to push things that we don't want others to see into closets so that we can give off a certain impression? These are the kinds of things that Jesus is directly addressing in the Jewish community in the verses that we approach this morning. One of these, of course, is a very famous one. Jesus' entry into Jerusalem has not been quiet. The crowds are watching him to see what he does. And we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, and we see that one of the very first things Jesus does is he goes to the temple. But he doesn't go to the temple in the way that many people are expecting. He doesn't go there to draw a crowd and then to announce a revolution. Instead, Jesus goes to the temple and something entirely different happens. Chapter 21, beginning with verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city went wild with excitement. "Who is this?" people asked. And the crowds replied, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus went into the temple and drove out all who were buying and selling in the temple precincts. He upset the tables of the money changers and the seats of the dealers in pigeons and said to them, "Scripture says, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you are making it into a bandit's cave." In the temple, the blind and the cripple came to him, and he healed them. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and heard the boys in the temple shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They were indignant and asked him, "Do you hear what they are saying?" Jesus answered, "I do. Have you never read the text? You have made children and babes at the breast sound your praise aloud." Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. And so, what is Jesus' concern when he enters into the temple? He says there, a bandit's cave, a den of thieves. He sees corruption here, and he desires that this room, this sanctuary, be cleaned. And so there we see one of the few instances of Jesus getting angry and perhaps even violent here, turning over the tables, chasing the money changers out. Because the need for cleanliness is crucial. We think about what God told the Israelites through Moses. Be holy as your heavenly Father, as your God is holy. And now here, Jesus driving home that same point in a dramatic fashion. This is the temple. This is the place where people come to meet God. It is not a place for corruption. So we hold this instance, this episode, in mind as we turn to another section. We turn to chapter 23. And here in chapter 23, we see Jesus in conversation once again with the scribes and the Pharisees. And here there is another point of contention. We know these verses perhaps. We've heard them before. But in chapter 23, beginning with verse 25, Jesus says to them, "Alas for you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You clean the outside of a cup or a dish and leave the inside full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, clean the inside of the cup first, then the outside will be clean also." And so here we latch on to that word hypocrite. This is a word that we toss around all the time. Our standards of fairness. That if a critical word is coming our way, we want to make sure that the person who speaks that word, or we're looking for ways, that the person who speaks that word might also be engaged in that same activity. Children and teenagers love to point this finger at their parents whenever they are scolded. But here, Jesus is saying that the scribes and the Pharisees who were going around and offering words of judgment on their congregations, he is telling them that they themselves are ignoring the words that they are preaching, and that they now need not to be concerned about appearances, the outside, if their hearts and their inner spiritual nature is corrupted, if they have not worked on cleaning the inside. And finally, we turn to an earlier chapter here, chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. Jesus here is giving us an image, a short parable, of a man who has been possessed by an unclean spirit. And here, it looks like the unclean spirit is departing. Chapter 12, verse 43. "When an unclean spirit comes out of someone, it wanders over the desert sand seeking a resting place and finds none. Then it says, 'I will go back to the home I left.' So it returns and finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and tidy. It goes off and collects seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they all come in and settle there. And in the end, that person's plight is worse than before. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. It's a very disturbing image, particularly if you have any experience with dependency or on addictions. This image of an unclean spirit leaving, it's not clear why the unclean spirit is leaving. But the suggestion is not that Jesus has driven this spirit out. The suggestion is this spirit just has a nonchalance about it, a no-care kind of attitude. Just says, well, I'm just going to leave. Wanders about and then says, well, I can't find a home elsewhere. Turns around, looks. The person seems to have cleaned things up. And we think that there is something important here, that this person is trying to reform his ways. But one of the things we need to think about here is, from Jesus' perspective, that place is empty. It might be tidy, but it's empty. From our perspective as Christians, the Holy Spirit has not come in. And if we are engaged in spiritual warfare, then the Holy Spirit needs to be there. God's Spirit needs to live within us to resist the temptations that are out there. And so what Jesus was saying to the scribes and the Pharisees about cleaning the inside, the interior, your spirit, that's what this parable is talking about. Don't just leave it empty. Don't think that you can overcome sin or an addiction or those things that are idolatries and pull you away from God just by temporarily pushing that thing out of your life. Jesus is saying you must fill that emptiness, that void, with God's Spirit. God needs to reside within us. And so we think about the lessons that we've had over the last several Sundays. The last Sunday we spoke about the need for repentance, that John the Baptist was preaching about repentance to set the people in the right path before Jesus came on the scene. Jesus himself spoke about repentance. And then his disciples, Peter, standing up on the day of Pentecost, says, repent, then you will receive forgiveness of sins. And so a part of what we are talking about here, to find your heart and your spirit clean before God, that begins with repentance. Then forgiveness of sin comes, and then God's Holy Spirit comes to reside within us, to give us the strength to face the temptations that will continue to come to us in this life. And so if we are disciples of Christ, if we are to seek to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, as Jesus tells us to do, then we need to seek to be clean, but not clean on the outside. It's not about appearances. Those will follow if our insides are clean. If we've done the honest work before God of pulling ourselves away from the concerns in this life, for quiet time before God, to sit and meditate on Jesus' words and the other scriptures, to think about how we have wandered away from God's Spirit. Our lives cannot be filled with evil spirits. We cannot push out evil spirits and just have a tidy, empty space, for then the evil spirits will then come back sevenfold. Instead, we invite God's Spirit within us by repenting, turning away from those sins, and doing things to take steps back toward God. And in those moments, we will discover what it is to be clean, what it is to be holy, what it is to be in communion with the living God. We come now to our invitational hymn, hymn number 653. This is an important time that this congregation offers every Sunday. If you've never made a commitment to be a disciple of Christ, if you've never repented of those ways that pulled you away from God, now is the time for you to walk forward, for this church congregation to pray for you and to encourage you as you seek to become a disciple of Christ. Now also is a time for each of us who have made that pledge and that promise to think about those sins and those evil spirits that may have been polluting our interior and ask, as we repent, for cleansing and for God's Spirit to move within us and to invigorate us as disciples of Christ. As we stand together and sing hymn number 653.